The Geometry of Love, Space, Time, Mystery and Meaning in an Ordinary Church is a book that takes the reader on a journey through the small church of St. Agnes outside the walls. The book was written by Margaret Visser, who says she chose to study the intricacies, history and architecture of this church because, in her words, it's a building that feels as if it's been on a very long journey out of the past, has altered and suffered and gathered accretions, and now it is here with us, still bearing its cargo of memories and still carrying out the purpose for which it was built. Actually, what really struck me was how the church, and Margaret, of course, tells the story of St. Agnes, a 12-year-old Roman girl who was murdered by stabbing in the throat back in the year 305 AD, at the very dawn of Christianity. But let's start at the beginning, and that's by hearing how Margaret Visser, the South African-born Catholic historian and author, goes about approaching her subject.
What I do is that I write about things that everybody knows about. You know, things like oranges or high-heeled shoes or modern things that everybody knows are there, and that if they don't understand what they mean and what their history is. And I decided I would write about a church, because it's also an object that everybody knows that's a church, but they don't know what it means and what the background of it is and what all the symbols are of everything inside the church. And then I had to decide which church. And I remembered this church from 25 years earlier, and I didn't remember anything specific, but I thought, this goes deep. And immediately this church has worked on me, because to get into the church you have to go down 45 steps into the earth to reach the church. And you see, the metaphor of going deep had entered me to the extent that I thought that I was being metaphorical, but actually the church had said it to me by being deep. So I'd forgotten the deepness of the steps, and I had kept the message. So that gives you an example of the way in which a building can arouse in you a feeling, a meaning, an understanding, a desire. So stones can do that for you. That's what I mean by a church being able to be the geometry of love. All churches express love because Christianity's main message is love.
That makes sense, but let's get back to the Church of St. Agnes outside the walls. Margaret Visser walks us through the little church, which is on the Via Nomentana, on its way out of Rome.
You walk into the church, and you, in the narthex of the church, the vestibule of the church, which represents your decision to walk into a church and not walk past, that's number one. It expresses that. You've taken the trouble to step in. That narthex represents ourselves before we came to consciousness. It represents paradise. It's often called paradise. It's the days when we lived in the Garden of Eden before we sinned and disobeyed God. But as the great hymn of the Exultet tells us, a happy fault, because it's brought us our Saviour. So you walk into the, already in the vestibule, you made a transition from the street into a sacred space. You then step out of that into your conscious life, into the time after the sin, and you are on your road towards being saved, but towards transcendence, towards eternal life. And you see that right at the beginning of the church. You see the apse ahead of you, but you've still got to walk the road. So the nave already is a profound symbol of a person's lifetime. And not only each person, but all of the people in the church, all of humanity. We are on a road to freedom. It is exodus from oppression. Just the nave says all that. So that you can see how you can go on. And then that's the basic part, which everybody can see in their own church. And all the parts of the church are described in that way. And then you have the specifics, and you get to the story of Agnes.
Margaret explains that the very position of the church tells us a lot about Agnes and of who she really was.
The fact that this church is buried, half buried in the ground, because it was built over the tomb, buried in the catacombs of Rome, of a 12-year-old girl who said no. That's basically it. She said no to the Roman state. She said, I know what I believe, and you are not going to change that. I have made a choice, and you can, if you kill me, so be it. But I'm not changing for you. And this changes. This is an incredibly revolutionary story.
A saint with a revolutionary story. This sounds exciting. Please, Margaret, tell us more.
There are sparse indications, but there are definite indications in Roman literature that Romans would never murder a virgin. Virginity meant to the Roman state the inviolability of the city. The walls of Rome were represented by the Vestal Virgins. Virginity was a state of being unviolated. For the Romans, you never stick a sword, which is what happened to Agnes, into a virgin. It's too phallic. So what they did, and it's horrendous, but this is what they did, they first raped her, and then they killed her. So it is almost certain that Agnes was in fact raped. Now, the story that has always been told about her was, a passio was written about her after her death. It's an incredibly interesting story. One understands why it was told, because it has really got all the criteria of an exciting story. That the prefect's son fell in love with her. She said no to him. I'm already married, she said, to Christ. I don't want you. I've got my spouse already. And they decided to murder her for this. And first of all, to put her into a brothel, to prevent her from being a virgin anymore, and put her in a brothel. Now, that, you know, you think that, good grief, this is getting too lurid for words. But in fact, Christian women were routinely, as a punishment, put into brothels. We know that. So there's sort of aspects of the truth of the story. And then she was taken naked through the streets of Rome, and her hair grew to cover her body. And when she got to the brothel, the angels stopped everyone. The angel gave her a white dress, and there were miracle upon miracle upon miracle that ensured that Agnes was not raped.
Margaret is convinced that the story of Agnes helps us understand what the church really means by virginity.
Virginity is not, you know, the fact that you've never slept with a man. That is only a small part of it. The point about virginity is your singleness of heart, your purity, your intention. It's not to do with your body only.
And Margaret explains that Agnes's story is intricately tied up with her being Roman, and that it is so important not to interpret the past with a distorted modern perspective, but by its own values.
The thing that I point out in the book is it's very important, again, to understand that Agnes is a new kind of hero. She's a Christian hero, but she still has a few things that are still ancient Roman. She's very, very early. This is, we're talking 305 here. The church had only just been allowed to exist by the Roman state. And so they're still sort of infected by this idea. The Vestal Virgins had a shrine in the middle of Rome and a shrine beside the walls of Rome, because they represented the safety of the city downtown and the safety of the city by the walls. Agnes has come to have two shrines too. She has a shrine downtown and a shrine outside the walls. So she's still sort of infected by this Vestal Virgin kind of virginity, which is not what Christians mean by virginity. The Christian virgins that we have now, women who decide to become nuns, for example, they're virgins because they are leaving a family behind, and all the responsibilities and all the comforts and consolations of having a family, they leave that behind in order to be free to serve others. And that's what early Christian virgins were doing when they said, I'm going to choose virginity. They were escaping from the power of their dad, who could tell them who to marry and make alliances for the family. And her job was to produce a soldier for the Roman state. I mean, a citizen, above all, a male citizen for the Roman state. That was a woman's role. And when Christian women said, No, actually, I'm not going to get married. I'm going to stay a virgin. The Roman state was enraged. I mean, we actually have a decree from Domitian saying virgins, Christian virgins, shall be sought out and raped because they are going against the role of women in the state. We have to understand where this virginity thing came from. It means freedom. It doesn't mean submission. It means the exact opposite of submission. It means freedom from the power of the male, freedom from responsibilities for a family, freedom to turn towards other people and be the mother of all kinds of people who you've never given birth to. And that's what it still means in Christianity.
And going even further with the revolutionary aspect of the figure of Agnes, Margaret Visser contends that we can almost look to her as a model for the women's liberation movement.
The women's liberation movement, you know, women finally starting to be valued as individual human beings, as human beings, which were just apparently just starting now. But I think it began with Christianity. It began with women saying no. It began with women saying, I am married to Christ, not you. It seems very, very, very strange that that should be the case. But if you think it through, you will realize that that's where it comes from. It comes from the fact that women are, just as a man has a soul, a woman has a soul. And therefore, she has her own personal salvation to work towards. And she cannot be made to represent this inviolability of a city. You know, women are people, they're not symbols. And this began in Christianity.
Finally, I discovered that Agnes is notable also because she detains a first in Christian art. A small statue recently dug up from under a stairwell depicts her, a little girl with a chubby face and curly hair, with her hands up in the air as people used to pray at the time. The statuette dates back to the 4th century, so soon after her death, it may actually be her, which means this could be the earliest ever actual depiction of a specific saint in Christian art. A humble reminder that young Agnes is no longer a victim, but a hero. Laudetur Jesus Christus.